And I played that right before communion intentionally, because the thing is we're covered by the blood of Jesus, and people who aren't like to tell us that we can't. And they like to say, I won't. I won't beat cancer. I won't go out and preach the gospel, but that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to live in harmony. He wants us to be happy. And that's what He tries to give us, and sometimes we just don't pick it up. We just leave it on the floor. God wants great things to happen. And sometimes I think we sit back and we go, oh, well, you know, He's got great things happening to Him. Why don't they happen to me? And sometimes I think it's because we just don't pick it up. Because God wants us to live the life that He gave us, mostly in peace. And that was that night that He was betrayed. When Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of gold. And the funny thing is after that happened, Jesus told Judas, He said, go ahead, do what you need to do. In front of you have the communion cups. There's two parts to it. The top is the bread, and then underneath is the wine. It's actually juice and not wine. But that night when Jesus was there, He told Judas, He said, Judas, go ahead and do what you got to do. But the thing is Jesus still loved him. And Jesus loved him for his heart, not for what he was about to do. And what I see is sometimes people look at other people and they judge them on what they see and not necessarily what they feel with someone's heart. Jesus was able to do that, and He was able to love people for who they are, not for what He expected from them, because I know that I could not live up to what Jesus and God expects. So that night, what Jesus did was He took the bread. It was after dinner. And He blessed it, and He broke it, and He offered it to His disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He wants us to remember not only what He did, but also the fellowship of believers. And that's what happened that night. And in the same manner, He took the wine, and after He had blessed it, He offered it to His disciples and said, take, drink. This is my blood shed for you, for the new covenant, for the forgiveness of your sins. Some things that we have to take care of in the church, and that's where your offering comes in. And what Jesus said is, give as it has been given unto you, and also give with a good heart for the right reasons. And everybody gives differently, and I appreciate what everybody has done and what everybody gives to the church, because it gives us an opportunity to reach out. Just you being here is awesome. And maybe it could be part of your offering. You know what? Call me old-fashioned, but repentance is still necessary. Holiness is still right. And guess what? The blood still works. And it does, because I see it so many times. You know, the blood that covers us keeps us protected. But I think sometimes we forget that. And that's another reason we have communion. Because God said, do this in remembrance of me. He wants us to remember all the time what he's done for us. And the blood covers us and keeps us protected. Okay, today what I want to talk to you about is fear is a liar. I hope all is well with you and you're having a great week. I know I am. We're growing and we're growing in the kingdom. And I'm impressed. We're reaching out in so many different ways to so many different people. The people that I saw yesterday. The kids in the bath. I mean, it's incredible. I could just go on and on. I think last weekend, I remember Ruth came up and what she had done last Sunday is she had created 20 Bible passage cards. And she came up and she goes, I'm out. And there's more kids. So we had more than 20 kids that we reached out and touched last weekend. And we're doing it. And I couldn't do it without everybody's help. This church couldn't do it. It's not about me. It's about God. And it's about how he's working. And it's about people stepping up in things. And the resurrection is so important. And it's so important to remember that because not only was Jesus crucified, and when he was crucified by his own people. He was crucified by the Jews. It wasn't the Romans. The Romans did the act. But it was the Jews that actually crucified him. And as I've said before, there's so many signs and so many meanings in the stories. And as I go through, it's like I could probably speak for 3 or 4 months just on all of the little things that Jesus said or that happened with Jesus after the resurrection. Yeah, I get excited. I don't know if you can tell or not. But I was looking up trying to find out how many times did Jesus appear after the resurrection before he ascended. And if you didn't know this, Jesus ascended into heaven on the 40th day. So all these things he did in these 40 days, I believe there's a meaning there. I don't know what it is, but I believe that there's a meaning in those 40 days. But I went out and I started looking. How many times did Jesus appear? And one story says 10, another one says 12, another one says 13, and I'm going, okay, then what it is it's not important how many times he appeared. It's important that he did. And it's important what he did when he appeared. And what I found was strange is as I was going through the Gospels, I got to John, and in the back of John, actually what happens is there is another event on the water with the fish. It happened before when Jesus was calling people. And I was like, wow. But there's two things that I saw that happened in the resurrection that were really important because we know that Jesus was not a spirit. And Jesus said that. First thing that he did is he said, look, touch my hands. See the nail holes? See where they cut my side? Where they stuck a spear inside of me? Well, you can't touch those things and you can't feel those things with spirits. And the other thing that Jesus said is, where's the food? I'm hungry. Give me food. And even in John, what he was doing was he was sitting on the shore and he was roasting fish. Spirits don't do that. But one of the things that I saw as I read through things about the resurrection and even leading up to Jesus being crucified, one of the threads that I see is the stories of fear. The stories of fear that go through people. And fear, well, you know that feeling. It's something that happens inside of you. And it just won't go away. You know, you get that fear of one thing and or the other, and it causes you to do things that you might not otherwise do, or that you might not otherwise say, because of fear. And sometimes we don't know where that fear comes from. And depending on how you break down fear, it's either fail early and recover, or false expectations appearing real. However you break it down, one of the things that I found out is that fear is one of Satan's greatest motivators. I have seen people do things when they've been afraid that they wouldn't normally do. I've experienced fear as Satan has shown me, and I've also realized that Satan loves fear. Satan has seen fear in me when he's come to me face to face through other people. It's only happened twice in my life. But when I realized, I didn't even realize it was Satan, because what he does is he doesn't come like Jesus does and he knocks on his door. You're standing there and all of a sudden he's there in front of you. But what he does is he comes in a little bit at a time. He doesn't come in going, "Hey, guess what? I'm Satan. It's Halloween. I'm here." He comes in a little bit at a time because, like we've talked before, as he makes his way in ways that we don't realize. We think it's very innocent, and what the Bible says as to what Satan does is he starts out with a little bit of truth. And if you want to go back to where Jesus was tempted, that's what Satan did. Satan quoted Scripture because Satan knows the Bible as well as God does. Because he was God's number one person. And that was where they had problems. He wanted the same thing. He wanted to be at the same level as God was. So I've experienced Satan. I've experienced fear as Satan has shown me, and he loved it. But he also knows that he only gets one shot at it, because next time he comes around in the same form, I will know who he is. It's not that I knew he was coming. Like I said, he snuck in. He came in the back door. But that's okay. Like I said, we're covered by the blood of Jesus. What can he do to us? What can Satan really do to us when we realize that we're covered by the blood of Satan, or covered by the blood of Jesus? And I think that's what another reason that God wants us to remember, to do things in remembrance of him. Once we identify that we're experiencing fear, we have to deal with it. Unless we want to keep that feeling and relish it, which I've seen people do also. They don't want to get rid of that fear. They don't want to dump it. They want to keep it. They want to keep it inside of them. They have a hard time sleeping. They're short with other people because of fear of something that may be out there. The chances are they're not going to be hurt. Your children are the most high God. He protects us, but Satan doesn't want us to know that. Jesus has four words in Scripture that should calm our spirits, our hearts, our minds, and our souls. And only through calm can we truly serve Christ. But I'll tell you what those words are in a little bit. But one thing that goes throughout the Bible that as I was looking through, I found in so many places. Be strong and courageous. And one of the things that Jesus tells us is, "I'll never leave you. I will always be with you so you can be strong and courageous." And I know some of these Bible addresses, there's a couple of them that are off. I went back looking through them this morning and I went, "Oh my gosh." But I am human. My point is, and this isn't all of them. This is throughout the entire Bible. People telling other people, be bold and courageous. And David told Solomon, be bold and courageous and do it. Don't just be bold and courageous and sit around and go, "Oh, you know, we can do this and we can do that." Jesus said, do it. David said, do it with Solomon. Samuel said, do it. Be bold and courageous. And my God, our God, will be with you. And that's what David told his son. And then Samuel, what Samuel quotes is, do not be afraid. Have I not commanded you to be courageous and valiant? And God wouldn't say, you know what, you go out and do this on your own. I'm going to sit back here. God doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't do that. He walks with us. But you know what I found out reading through the Bible? We're not the only ones who occasionally have fear. I can imagine what the disciples went through. They had never done anything like this before. And the thing is they didn't know what was going on. As you read through the Bible, there are times when the disciples say, what's going on? What are we doing? Why are we doing this? The disciples had fear too. And after Jesus was crucified was when they probably had the most fear. Their leader, this person, their Messiah, their Savior was gone. The Messiah that was supposed to save the world, bring the Israelites back home. He was gone. They were on their own. But what they did was they had fear rather than have faith in Jesus. But Jesus warned them, and Jesus told them exactly what to do. And Jesus tells us exactly what to do in the Bible. If we just follow His word. But you see what happened with the disciples is they were stuck in the natural. They were stuck in what they could see, and now they could no longer see Jesus. But the thing was that they were told that Jesus was resurrected because Mary went back and told them. And half of the disciples were like, yeah, right. Yeah, Jesus was resurrected. No, His body's gone. But He's not been resurrected. But Jesus told them that. But they didn't really get it. And so on that day that Jesus was resurrected, that someone came to tell them that Jesus was resurrected, and they really didn't believe it, all they knew was Jesus was crucified and He was put in the tomb and now He's gone. Then what they did on the first day of the week, the same day of the week that Mary went down to check the tomb, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled. Why? Because of fear of the Jews. They were afraid of their own people. And to kind of give you a little bit of background, what happened was is there had been other groups of people that had risen up. And not only the Jews, but the Romans had been concerned about it. So what they did was the same thing they did with Jesus. You know what? If we kill their leader, everybody's going to scatter. Well, this is what happens. What happened was they were locked in this room. They were scared. I can't say that I wouldn't do the same thing because they didn't know what was happening. They knew the supernatural, but they couldn't understand what was actually happening or what was going on. And I know there's times when we feel the same way. Sometimes we get a doctor's report. We hear about something happening in the family. Maybe we get a not-so-good word about our spouse's medical condition. Or maybe notification of death. It all seems scary, depending on where our focus goes. And that's the important part of all of this. Where is our focus? And the disciples took their focus off of Jesus. And they put their focus where? On the Jews. They forgot that Jesus said, I'm going to be there with you no matter what happens. They focused on the natural, which was the Jews. They were afraid the Jews were coming after them. And one of the things that I found out is that we do incredible things when we keep our eyes on Jesus. When no matter what happens, we stay bold and courageous. Because when we don't, and we start looking at fear instead of Jesus, we start sinking. We start sinking into the sea, just like Peter did. He could walk on water until he got a little bit scared. And that's what happened with me. When I let that fear take over, I can feel myself sinking. I can feel myself going into the darkness. And that's not where I want to be. Let me back up. That's not where Jesus wants us. He doesn't want us living in darkness. He doesn't want us living in fear. See, you know what? The cool thing is Jesus is never early. He's never late. He's always right on time. This is what happened, and these are the four words Jesus uses to calm the disciples and should help calm us. Jesus came and stood in their midst. They were locked in. The doors were locked. They were scared, and Jesus just kind of pops in. And He says, peace be with you. That's the first thing He told them. was peace be with you, because he wants us to have peace. And when he had said this, he showed him his hands. He showed him his side. And then the disciples were glad to see him. That was his testimony. They needed to see, to believe what was going on. Okay, let's break this up a little bit. I want you to do something for me, if you would. I want you to turn to your neighbors. I want you to say, peace be with you. And shake their hands.
Peace be with you.
The smiles that I see. This is so awesome. This is what happened when Jesus said, peace be with you. That calm that came over them, that happiness, that joy that they had. Finally, everything was going to be okay. It was incredible. They were so scared that they locked themselves into the upper room and they would not go out. They were not carrying the gospel to the world. That's how scared they were. And Satan does not want us carrying the gospel to the world. We're fine here. This is great. We're all talking about the gospel. We're all being part of the gospel. We're enjoying peace once we walk inside these doors. But what about the people around us? What about those people that have drug addiction? What about the prostitutes? What about the people that can't afford their medicine? Or they're cutting their medicine in half just to make it last. And they were so scared they weren't sharing the gospel. They doubted that Jesus had actually been risen from the dead, as he said he would. And I sometimes see us doing that. And I have to watch myself that I don't start doubting what's in this book. And this is an incredible book. And sometimes I read through this and I'm going, are you serious? I can do what you've done and even more? Jesus said, yeah, if you believe. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could do what I did. That's his promise to us. That's what he tells us. But you know that fear that those disciples had? Isn't that kind of like our fears? We lock ourselves in our rooms, hoping that it'll go away. We don't want to face our fears. Those fears that come, that may be false expectations. They're not real. Nobody's kicking in your door. You want to keep the door closed and your door locked. Against what? Because you're a child, children of the Most High God. We hide from those fears and sometimes we hope they'll go away. I'm not sure what the disciples thought would happen by them hiding. So Jesus said to them, peace to you. First he said, peace be with you. Now he says, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Jesus made a good point with all of this. And it's what I think he wants for us. I believe he wants us to have the peace that passes all understanding. Peace that we don't understand. That calms our spirits, our minds, and our souls. Because he's the only one that can give us that peace. You can't find it in anything else other than through him. There's going to be times when we think the thing to do is to hide. Lock ourselves in a room. Or lock ourselves in a state of being that's not godly. And I can definitely speak very freely about this because I've done it. And occasionally I do that. I don't want to deal with things. I want to lock the doors. I want to stay inside. Or I get this thing going on in my head going, oh my gosh. What happens if I call the insurance company about my accident? What are they going to do? So I lock myself into this state of mind rather than just picking up the phone and calling and say, what do I do? So we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And there's another message here. It's the King's message. It's the King of all Kings tasking that He has given us. And we can't take on His tasking if we're so fearful that we hide from things, that we choose not to share the gospel. And He tells us in Matthew, also in Mark, He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let everybody know what the gospel is. Share it with everybody. This is His tasking to us. This is what they also call the Great Commission. And this is what we're doing here at this church. We're reaching out to people. We're going beyond the walls of this church. We're being asked to go into other churches. We, Martin Wood, not all the other churches in Council Bluffs, we are specifically being asked. It's God's calling for us to do that. His tasking is the Great Commission, but the first thing is He wants us to have peace by saying, peace be with you. He's telling us He wants His peace to be with us. Not just peace. Okay, it's calm. The TV's off. The radio's off. I'm kind of chilling with a cup of coffee. He wants the kind of peace that He can only give us. That's what He wants us to have. And then what He says is peace to you. He says that with an exclamation point. It's like His commandment. It's like His commandment to us is it's like peace to you. Not only peace be with you, but here, I'm giving it to you. You don't really have a choice. But we do. We can say we don't want it. We can let fear take over, anxiety, depression, worry, all of those things that go on. There's going to be times when we think the thing to do is just to hide. He's giving us His peace. The thing is Jesus knows how scary things can get. He already went through probably the most scary thing that could happen at that time. He was crucified. Not only that, He was beaten, He was tortured, He was spit on. They put a crown of thorns on His head. If anyone knows how scary this world is, Jesus knows. But He also wants to give us the peace that passes all understanding. He wants us to feel His peace. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to be bold and courageous, not be fearful. He wants us to go out. He wants us to reach out and preach the gospel. Preaching doesn't mean beating people over the head with your Bible. But preach wherever you preach. Preach it in the way you live. Preach it in how you talk to people. Preach it in how you lead. For me, I like building relationships with people. Because if I can build a relationship with a person, then they can see how I live in Jesus. And they're more open to me sharing the gospel with them. And it's like they say, always be preaching, only use words when necessary. Yeah, I'm a preacher, but I like people seeing how I live. And hopefully, I'm living close to the way Jesus wants me to live. They have a long way to go, but that's okay. Some people like living a Christian life. Others like serving. That's the way they preach to other people. Always be preaching by means of a thought, a word, and a deed. God's going to call you to do things. Don't be fearful or reserved. Step up, step out, and answer His call. And we never know how it's going to come to us. It could be a phone call. It could be someone near us. It could be a relationship. But God's going to call us through those people. Keep in mind, fear is a liar. It's one of Satan's greatest motivators. He wants you to lock yourself in a room and not reach out to people. He wants you to be scared of sharing the gospel. He wants you to be scared of sharing what you've heard here today. He doesn't want it to go outside of these walls. Guess what? I don't care what Satan wants. Just like the song says, the world's going to want us, it's going to try to drown us out. But guess what? I'm going to shout if I have to. So the world can hear the gospel. There's so many people that want the peace that you have. Fear is a tool that's used against us. This week, look at ways that you can be bold and courageous, that you can reach out to people. Jesus took to the cross boldly and courageously because he knew it was for us. And he did that for us. How are we going to be bold and courageous? Just to let him know we know you're there. Because he's going to bring people across your path this week that you're going to have the opportunity to share what you heard today. So go into all the world and preach the gospel. Feel Christ in your life. Accept his peace and not the lies that you're told. You are bold, you are courageous, and you are a child of the Most High God. Don't believe anything less than that. It's not about who you are, it's about whose you are. He is there with you. No matter what, he will never leave you. But we have a tendency to leave him. Don't travel another day thinking you're alone, because you're not. If you would, let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us seek your presence and accept and feel your peace. You are the one true God who made heaven and earth. Show us how to preach the gospel to all your creation using our skills and abilities that only you can give us. Help us see your will and your ways, because we want to walk in your will and in your ways. Thank you for blessing your ministry on 8th Avenue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you haven't given your life to the Lord yet, now would be the time to do that. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Yesterday was a canceled check. Tomorrow's a promissory note. I've known people I've stood next to and talked to one day, and then the next day they would go home. I did what I could to make sure that they came to Christ. If today is your day to give your heart to the Lord, I just want you to say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. We believe that if you said that simple prayer, that you've been born again. Read your Bible and be right back here again next week.